to, matter of fact, just open it to Luke chapter 23. Yeah. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, the one on the right hand, and the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach. We pray, O God, that you'd be with our mind. Give us clearness of thought, purpose and direction in our preaching. Bless our time together. Stir the hearts and the minds and the imagination of the hearer. And bring honor and glory to thy great name. My Father, we beseech you this day with all of our heart that for those individuals in this country that are saved by your amazing grace and washed in the precious blood of thy Son, for their sake and for thy glory, bless America once again. Help us to elect a man to lead our country that'll have some degree of character and integrity, some love for this nation and some devotion to our Constitution. Lord, you know we believe with all of our heart and all of our soul you were instrumental in the founding of this great country. And I pray, O God, for the elect's sake, for those washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, have mercy on us. Bless our great nation once more. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for His sake, amen. Now, I actually had a message that I wanted to bring this morning on in Mark chapter 2. And I had some quandary within myself about bringing it or not bringing it. And I've decided to go with the gut feeling of the flesh and trust that the Spirit will abide. The other day, I was reading a little book that I've had for a number of years, and I've read little places in it here and there, and it's a little book written by Dr. Jim Vineyard, who used to be the bus director up at Hiles Anderson First Baptist Church. And Dr. Vineyard wrote a book on Islam, and he spends a great deal of time on the history of who owns the land and the promises given, and he lays a great foundation. And, of course, then he moves on to show how militant Islam really is. And that their real ambition is not peaceful. They're not nice, sweet, polite people. The real ambition, through whatever means, is to conquer the world. Amen. To make the whole world submissive to Allah and Islam. And in that thing, I was reading along there, and he had, I don't know, 10 or 12 passages out of the Quran that expressly and explicitly deny that God has an only begotten Son. They deny that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. They deny that He is God manifest in the flesh. They overtly state that God has no son. I read that thing and I laid that book down. The thought struck me. I've had it rambling around inside my skull ever since. Here's the thought I had. What if there were no Jesus Christ? What if He had never been born? What if there was no Savior of the world? How significant would it be? What would it change? How different would our world be if it were minus 2,000 years of the influence of Jesus Christ? I was stunned. And I began to look and try and picture how things might be different and what we would have missed, what would never have happened, where we would be as individuals, where we would be as a society, minus Jesus Christ. And it's not a place you want to go. I remember one time years ago, I was watching a science fiction thing, Twilight Zone. I love Twilight Zone. A lot of their premises are good. Their budget was minimal, so they're kind of quaint. Okay, hokey. But mind-stirring sometimes anyway. And I had this one episode where this guy is denied a promotion, and he's angry about it. And he's sitting in a bar with his buddy, and he's fussing and fuming about being passed over and how bad life is and how unfair it is. And so he walks out the front door, and when he does, he leaves the 20th century and enters a world where the Nazis won the war. And it is so radically different. This guy is so taken aback. He is so caught off guard. He can't pivot fast enough to catch up with what's going on. It hasn't been 2 seconds and he's in the wrong dimension. And they're shooting at him and hunting him down. And he hasn't done anything but try and catch a bus. The world that he entered because of the difference in who won the war was almost unimaginably different. And I thought, if God had no Son, how would your world be different? Now, I want to look at that in two perspectives. For those of us who are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born again, regenerated, quickened by His Spirit, adopted into the family of God, and on our way to glory, what would we have missed? What would you be lacking this morning as you sit here? The other perspective is, what kind of impact would it have had on human society worldwide? If there had been no church, no great missionary societies, no technological, I mean, all the things that are present in our present world as a direct result of the outcome of Christianity that Islam had nothing whatsoever to do with, what kind of world would it be? So I want to point out just 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 things as long as I have time. Now, you could add to this list forever. I'm only going to list a handful of things that I think are important to you and I as believers, and some observations of how it would have impacted the world in a general sense, spiritually. How would things be different? Number one, if Jesus Christ had never come, there would be no New Testament. The book that transformed the entire world. There is not a nation on this planet that has not been impacted in some way, to some degree, because of that book. Even in places that don't profess to be Christian, places like India, places like China, the impact of that book can still be felt in their society because the people who believe that book make such an impression, we make such a change, we make such a presentation of the power of God that affects societies that do not even accept our premise. What if there were no New Testament? Well, for Christians, we'd have nothing to write about. All the books that line the walls of my study, if you walk into my study at home and you walk through the door, immediately to the right is my gun safe. Don't ever let me reach in it if you're being bad. The next wall, there's a bookcase right here. Then there's my desk. And books are all across the top of it. And over here is a bookcase, and it's all full of books. And this whole wall down here is books. If there had been no Jesus Christ, none of those books would have been written. All the literature that you've ever read about Jesus Christ and right living and holiness and godliness and righteousness, you would never have heard, you would never have read, it would never have been presented because He never lived. As Christians, we would have nothing to write about. There's something else. If there had been no Jesus Christ, there'd be no New Testament. There'd be nothing to write about. There'd be nothing to shout about. Now, I got saved 38, 39, 40. A long, long ago in a land far, far away. I got saved by God's amazing grace. The high sheriff of glory rolled down the hill to heaven and arrested my soul. And I ain't got over it since, buddy. I like being saved. I like being washed in the blood of the Lamb. I like shouting about it. I like camp meetings where they hoop it up. People say, well, you know, I don't believe in all that emotionalism. I know, unless it's the Packers and somebody else, right? Unless it's NASCAR. Then you believe in excitement and passion and shouting, you old hypocrite. I like all that shouting. I like folks to get all excited about Jesus Christ. I like for folks to get excited about the promises of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the home that God is going to prepare. That's worth shouting about. But if Jesus Christ had never been born, we wouldn't have a New Testament. Without a New Testament, we'd have nothing to write our songs about. We'd have nothing to shout about. As Christians, we'd be most deprived. If Jesus Christ had never been born, you realize there'd be no church history? 2,000 years of church history. Because Jesus Christ was born, we believe that, we preach that, we try to practice that. Because He was born, the gospel was taken around the world. And everywhere the gospel went, it transformed people, and in many cases, transformed nations. Everywhere it went, it made an impact one way or another. The gospel never goes any place in a neutral condition. It will make a difference one way or another. People will believe or not believe. People will be changed or people will not. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very powerful thing. It's a life-changing thing. It's a civilization-changing thing. But if Jesus Christ had not been born, we'd be minus 2,000 years of church history. Which means there would be no bringing the heathen from darkness to light. The world was steeped in darkness and wickedness and every evil imagination. The world was making no promise of progress. There was no technology. There was no education. It was feudalism and darkness around the world. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes, it brings light and it changes men's minds as well as their hearts. And they begin to live different and their motivations are different and their aspirations are different. They desire new things and better things. And when the gospel comes, the world begins to change round about you. The reason for the technological revolution, for the industrial revolution, for the getting rid of paganism and feudalism and all is directly tied to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the distribution of the New Testament around the world. Not Mohammed, not Islam. All the people that still practicing that are still living in huts and killing each other. They have no technology. They have no great factories. Everything they have, they bought and borrowed or stole from somebody else. Be no church history. No bringing the heathen from darkness to light. No life-changing experiences. I bet I could tap some of y'all on the shoulder. And I could say, brother, sister, what did getting saved, what did hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ do for you? And some of you, boy, with tears running down your face and your heart pounding, would begin to recite where you were and what you were and how you lived and the agony and the misery and the doubt and the frustration and the uncertainty that was in your life. And buddy, one day you came to Jesus Christ and He turned on the light and you began to see things you never saw. And the world took on a whole different glow. And you began to walk different and talk different and think different. And you wanted different things. And you wanted to tell people how God loved you and gave His only begotten Son for you. And we wanted to spread the gospel around the world. We wanted the world to come out of darkness into light. We wanted them to come out of meanness and hardness and coldness and deadness and wickedness into righteousness and holiness and purity. All because we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. If He had never been born, that would never have happened. The world would have missed all the good things that are the fallout of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No life-changing experiences. If Jesus Christ had not been born, no church history, there'd be no life-changing experiences. Now, son, I've told the story many times. I can tell it again. But Bobby Utley, God bless his heart, every time he gets an opportunity to give a testimony at our church, at his church, at somebody else's church, at a camp meeting, it make any difference. I've heard this story. I know it as well as he does, and I can tell it better. I know how Bobby Utley sat on that pew in Lane Street Baptist Church up in Concord, North Carolina, and that old preacher stood up there and wagged that finger, and the power of the Holy Ghost came right down that an arm and out that finger and right into the forehead of Bobby Utley and brought him under conviction, and his heart began to go warm, and buddy, the light began to come on and he could see that he was lost. And he said, sitting there in that pew in Lane Street Baptist Church, and that old boy preached the gospel and they gave that invitation, and he leaped up out of that seat and he walked down that aisle. And he ain't never been the same since. But if you know Bobby Utley, he ain't the same. I mean, he is the same everywhere he goes, but he ain't like he was before he met Jesus. Meeting Jesus was a life-changing experience. With me minus all that, all the stories that could be told by the countless millions who have been born again, by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, none of that would ever have happened. Would the world be worse off? You betcha. There'd have been no Christian martyrs. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? It ought to be required reading for every Christian. And as soon as we get you reading your Bible, we're going to do that. Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs talks about how they took men and women, boys and girls, who believed on Jesus Christ and departed from the Catholic Church to practice their faith according to the dictates of their heart as they found it in that blessed old book. And how they were murdered and tortured. and gave their lives. Some of them are sad. Some of them are awe-inspiring. There was a fellow named Ridley and somebody else, and they were accused of blasphemy because they wouldn't bow to the Pope. They tried to get them to recant. They wouldn't recant. They took them out and they put them upon a pole, and they put a bunch of trees and stuff underneath of wood. They're going to build a big bonfire. They're going to roast these boys. And the one fellow was beginning to get a little shaky up there. He's a little nervous. And the other one looked at him and said, "Don't worry." He said, "Just think, in a matter of minutes, we'll know. We'll know. We'll know." I said, "Glory to God. Give me some of that when it's my time to go. Amen. We'll know. In just a couple of minutes, I'll know." I like to read them stories where somebody's saying, you know, especially mamas to little children. I got a bunch of them stories where mama's saying, "Now, when you see Jesus, raise your hand," or something like that. I got this one, this little girl's about 8 or 9 years old, and she's laying there and she's dying. She's got pneumonia. She's about to perish and she's really weak. Barely can't speak above a whisper. And she said, "Now, Mama, if I see Jesus, I'll raise my hand." Mama was crying. Everybody in the room was crying. You know, used to, they'd get the whole family around the bedside when somebody's dying. Now we send them off to the hospital and we wait in the lounge. But it used to be a personal thing. You had to watch somebody die. Little girl's laying there. Mama's there weeping and holding her little hand and praying God will spare her. And she stirred a little bit, and Mama raised her head and looked, and she could tell the little girl was leaving. She held her little hand and watched her. She closed her eyes, and her chest quit moving. She exhaled. She never inhaled again. But as she exhaled, she took her little hand and went. What if she was that Mama? We would have missed that. We'd have missed it. If there was no Jesus Christ, all those kind of stories, all those heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, gut-churning, life-changing experiences would be gone. They would never have happened if there was no Jesus Christ. No Christian martyrs. No Christian stories. No Reformation. Do you realize what a chunk of history would have to be rewritten if Jesus Christ had never been born and we had to find something to fill in the space the Reformation takes up? Think about that for a minute. What would it have been? Do you really think that Islam, with its philosophy of death and dying, could have filled the world with the music and the songs and the prayers and the kindness and the gentleness and the transformation of human beings that the gospel of Jesus Christ has? I trow not. Suppose there had been no Jesus Christ. You know what you'd be missing? Now this would be a tragedy beyond words. There would be no Christian music. No Christian music. Now, perhaps some of y'all are so backslid that you don't listen to it. It's my prayer God will have mercy on your miserable soul. Y'all ought to listen to Christian music. Now, I have my own particular brand that I like. Southern Gospel, Mayo Quartet, my number one favorite. But I'll take a good trio. Some of y'all like contemporary. Okay, if you want to live semi-backslid, okay. I went out to Brother Carroll's the other day, a week or so ago, took Seth out there to do a little fishing, and I beat him. Went out there to do a little fishing, and Brother Carroll wasn't around, so we were out there getting our poles all fixed up and getting ready to drown our worms. And a few minutes later, here comes Brother Carroll. I hear his little golf cart before he gets there. And I thought, well, that old backslid sucker, he's listening to country and western. Then as it got a little closer, I could make out the lyrics. And it was country and western gospel. And I talked to him several different times, and he had that little radio on or whatever it is, and the whole time it was gospel music, but it was definitely country music sound to it, you know. And I told my wife, I went home, I said, all he listened to is gospel. I said, but boy, you got to listen close because it sounds like country. Listen, that gospel music, you know what? That stuff lifts your spirit. You can be down with a heavy heart and defeated and got the mully grubs and you listen to a couple of good Christian songs and that thing will pick you up. So don't listen to those slow ones. Listen to that good upbeat stuff. I mean, kind of like a honky-tonk piano and a bass guitar. I mean, just good stuff. Music is inspirational. Why do you think music is so popular? It speaks to people's hearts, their emotions, the things they like, the things they think about, the things they want. You know why people listen to love songs? Because they've got enough love in their life. We listen to Christian music because it talks about God and our salvation and the promises of God and the goodness of God and what God has done for us and what God has done for others and what God is going to do down the road. It keeps us lifted up. It keeps us inspired. It keeps us on track. Can you imagine a world without a single Christian song in it? No Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that saved a wretch like me? No How Great Thou Art? We could have done without that one. Never has been my favorite. Just imagine your world devoid of Christian music. My wife, for years, went out to the prison and taught a Sunday school class to the ladies. And she always took her little CD player and she'd take some Southern gospel music with her. And they would play one or two before she started preaching or teaching. Now to this day she denies that she preached, but I know that's not so because almost exclusively she used my sermon outlines and they all preach. Do you know what them girls like more than anything? They like that Christian music. Because in their world, there is no music. And buddy, Sunday morning, they would come to hear that music. It spoke to their heart. It spoke to their loneliness. It spoke to their sadness. It spoke to their failure. It gave them hope. It brought inspiration. It gave light and understanding. I'm telling you, that music, gospel music in particular, does tremendous things, unbelievable things in the heart of the hearer. Imagine a world devoid of all Christian music. If Jesus hadn't come, there wouldn't be any. Think about this. If Jesus hadn't come, there would be no light for the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. The world was in darkness. And if you know anything about history, you have some idea how dark, how black that darkness really was. Magic and mysticism and occultism, false gods, pantheons of little powerless gods, man-made gods, trying to find something that would give you power and peace and reassurance, trying to find a little god that would be on your side. Working feverishly around the clock so as not to offend the current deity. What a miserable world to live in. No forgiveness. No promise of eternal life. No nothing. Just a fickle, unstable God or goddess that changes with time, changes with culture, changes with conqueror. Never the same. You can't depend on them. The least little thing. And they get all upset and do whatever it is God's due to you. What a miserable, dark, unstable, unfriendly, unloving world to live in with no Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's love for a sinful people. When Jesus Christ came, love was unveiled. Love was revealed. Love was manifested to a world that did not know what it was. Not a single other God loves you. Allah doesn't love you. Read the Quran. It never says He loves you. And you are always having to do this and this and this to have Him show you favor. But He never loves you. My God loves me. My Christ loves me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like being loved. No light for the world. If Jesus Christ had never come, there could never be a resurrection of the dead. No resurrection. No resurrection. If Jesus hadn't come, no resurrection. If Jesus Christ hadn't come, all of humanity, for all time, would be consigned to the dirt. Live and die. Live and die. No point. No purpose. No hope. If Jesus Christ hadn't been born, the best thing you could do was just have as much fun and indulge in as much pleasure as you possibly can. No resurrection, no judgment. No resurrection, you don't have to pay for it. When you die, you're dead just like a dog. They could put you and your cat in the same grave and it wouldn't make any difference. No resurrection. If Jesus hadn't come, no, can I get that through your head? I mean, that ought to be a mind-boggling thing to those of us who live in hope of the resurrection. Amen. The thing that stirs us and motivates us and keeps us going is that I know that if I go in the dirt, the day will come when God Almighty will bring me forth from the grave and I shall ever be with Him. I get a new body, a glorified body, like unto His glorious body, and I will live with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. I am not going to be stuck in the ground. My hope of eternal life and resurrection is in Jesus Christ. All it be gone. Be gone. If the Muslims are right and God had no son, we are of all people most miserable. If Jesus Christ hadn't been born, there would never be a defeat of the devil. Nobody to defeat Him. Nobody to take Him on. Nobody to vanquish Him. As the God of this world, He could rule supreme. He'd just be the devil and human nature. Now there's a team. There's a team. I wonder where that'll take you. I wonder what good will come forth from that combination. Human nature stays corrupted forever. The devil plays on it and feeds it, enriches it. Can you imagine how wickedness would abound? Can you imagine how dark and disgusting this world would be if there were no Jesus Christ? If the devil could have his way all of the time? If he could ply his trade, spend his time corrupting human nature on a worldwide scale without any restraint, without any force of opposition, if he had free reign for the last 2,000 years, you think the world was in darkness and corrupt when Jesus came the first time? Where in God's name would it be today if Jesus had not come? If all we had was Allah. If Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no end of death. No end. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I preached a lot of funerals. I made a lot of trips to funeral homes. into people's houses and trying to help and comfort people who lost loved ones. It's a sad business. It's the one thing that preachers... Let me tell you what preachers like. We like fried chicken. Preachers like to eat. We like to get patted on the back. We like big checks and lots of benefits. That's why I stay here. We don't like funerals. We don't like visiting the dying. I don't like looking into the eyes of mamas and daddies or children as mom and daddy or that child gets ready to slip out of this world into the next. There's no good situation for that. Even when grandma was 98 and totally dysfunctional and semi-comatose, them kids are sitting there whining and crying and tears running down their face and they got a big hole in their heart and their life is going to have a big hole in it. And we say, well, you know, now grandma's going to be better off. And I'm going, I hope. Because a lot of times I don't know whether they're saved or lost. My wife said, why do you preach them into heaven? Well, what I preach doesn't make any difference about where they go. But it does have a lot to do with the comfort of the family. So I think sometimes as preachers get a dispensation for a little exaggeration. I ain't going to stand there and tell somebody their mama's in hell. Not at the graveside anyway. Now, I may tell you from the pulpit, see. But when you're standing there with a broken heart, I ain't telling you that. I'm getting sick and tired of doing it. Tired of it. Tired of dead people. Tired of heartache. Tired of heartbreak. Tired of sadness. Tired of seeing the weeping. I'm looking for a day when there'll be no more dead. But if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, you're not only in your sins, you're forever in the grave. And the world will forever go on dying and dying and dying and dying. There will be no end to death. If Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no heaven to gain. Now, I don't know anybody, maybe there is somebody, but I don't know anybody that enjoys living more than I do. Now, so I think I have a healthy outlook on life. I'm looking for glory, trying to do what I can for others on my way there, but I'm enjoying living. But anyway, I took that verse over where he said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I take that thing as literal as I can. I think that verse is primarily talking about spiritually. But I'm going to transpose it to physically too. I want to have a good life. I don't think God wants us to live in a corner and never enjoy anything, never have anything nice. And if I can live honest and true and God blesses materially, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I'm going to have a good time. And I enjoy it. I like to laugh. I like to cut up. My wife tells me all the time, I keep her in stitches. I keep her cracked up. I got a wit. I like funny stuff. But if there was no heaven to gain, I'd have nothing to be happy about. Can you imagine the sorrow that would fill our hearts if all we had was the pain and suffering of this present world? If this was the best? No, this is not the best. What if this were all? What would you be excited about? What could you find to shout about? What could you share with others? There'd be nothing. Let me close with this. This affects not just us believers. I think this point impacts the whole world. Now, I'm not a smart fella, but if I understand anything about human nature, the most miserable people on this planet are those who have no hope. What could cause more despair than to have no hope for tomorrow? That things would get better. That there's a brighter day. That troubles will soon pass away. That sickness didn't come to camp out. The thing that burns eternal in the heart of mankind is hope. And when hope is gone, despair fills its place. If Jesus Christ had never come, the world at large would have no hope. None. 6 billion people on this planet today. What if none, zero, had hope of a better day? And no hope of a better life. No hope of justice. No hope of God's love. No hope of eternal life. Just no hope. Just blackness and darkness and gloominess. Morning to night and night to morning. Day in and day out, 24/7 by 365 times forever and ever and ever. No hope! But because Jesus Christ came. You know how I know that He came? In my heart, there is hope. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. So why do you have that? Because Jesus Christ came and He lived a sinless life. He died a vicarious death. He ascended from the grave and He sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede. And He's coming back for me. You know that Jesus Christ came because there's hope in the world. If you didn't know it for any other reason, you'd know it because there's hope in the world. Let me ask you this. Do you have hope? Do you have hope of eternal life? Do you have hope of a resurrection? Do you have a hope of life forever in heaven? Jesus Christ. You couldn't have that hope if He hadn't come. We'd miss the songs, we'd miss the history, we'd miss all the things that have gone on in the past 2,000 years. We'd miss all that. But we would utterly fall in despair if you take from us our hope. This blessed hope and the great appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You that as believers, we have hope. We do not despair as others which have no hope. Of all the things that You've given us, that blessed indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that causes us to hope against hope, for that we are truly grateful. And I pray, O God, that You'd help us to realize what a monumental thing it was and how it forever changed the world and humanity when You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I pray, O God, help us to meditate on that, to appreciate that, and to share it with the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.